for instance, disease-carrying mosquitoes. We looked at peer-reviewed studies that discussed the current and possible future ranges of like the Aedes aegypti mosquito that carries dengue and Zika. And we basically just sort of compiled them in a way that kind of took the average of these predictions. So using multiple different pieces of research and melding them in a way that sort of gave us the most reasonable prediction that we saw. So we did the same thing with, you know, severe hurricanes and wildfires, droughts.
Yeah, it seems as though people think quite often when they talk about climate change that things are going to get hotter, it's going to happen maybe gradually. A lot of people think this is in a history of time, a pretty short period that you're talking about, 2100 AD.
Yeah, it really is. You know, that was a big idea in what we were doing, is that people see climate change as this really far-off thing. And while some of the most severe effects will be far in the future, we also wanted to highlight the fact that, you know, this is something that can be happening in our lifetimes and definitely our children's lifetime. And so it's not some abstract thing that's going to happen in, you know, some distant future where technology will have already solved all our problems. It's facing us, and it's already begun to cause some serious changes with, you know, the frequency and variability of weather events that we've already seen.
Now, I can ask you about Illinois, where we're located, in just a moment, but let me first move to a little bit north of Illinois, areas like Michigan, for example. That seems to be the place to be about 100 years from now if these predictions hold true.
Yeah, it does. It does sort of look like Michigan's in a protected bubble, at least up until 2100. So, you know, the research that we reviewed for this story basically showed Michigan being in the clear. And the reason for that is pretty simple, is that, you know, I think it won't last too long, unfortunately, is that we see weather events and environmental factors like hurricanes and mosquitoes, for instance, that we often associate with either tropical or farther south climates, gradually moving north. And so at least by 2100, those won't have hit Michigan yet. But based on these predictions, it seems reasonable to expect that maybe in the following century they will.
So Michigan may be in the clear, at least for a while. Illinois, not so much, and especially as you get to where the central and southern part of Illinois.
Right. You know, and it's possible that some of these things won't be until the latter half of the century, for instance. But, you know, I think we just want to emphasize, and we also don't want people to think that this is some sort of doomsday prediction, right? So what this means is not that you're going to be overrun with mosquitoes or that all of your plant life will wither from drought. But what it does mean is that there's a higher likelihood of some of these things becoming a little more severe, right? So there's a higher likelihood that as temperatures go up and humidity increases, that conditions will be a little more friendly for mosquitoes, and that, you know, as temperatures go up, drought will become more of a frequent problem. So it's possible that we'll be seeing water shortages and things like that. And so, yeah, these are definitely effects that we could be seeing in the next few decades for sure.
Certainly science has a way of sometimes figuring, you know, answers to some of these problems that do crop up. But at the same time, it seems like there's a couple of things that have to happen. One is people have to be able to have, we have to have enough food, I guess, to feed all of the people. And then secondly, how do you deal with all this possibility of really damaging severe weather, tornadoes, hurricanes, you know, maybe major flooding, things like that? Those seem to be things that even science could have a difficult time keeping up with.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's where public policy might need to come into play. You know, I don't necessarily have a background in that, but I've talked to enough people who do that kind of research in my work as a journalist, you know, and I've heard some people suggest that we, you know, that for instance, FEMA is not sufficient to the task of these more frequent severe hurricanes and tornadoes, and that we might need to institute some sort of, you know, ongoing disaster relief, right? That they're not really, that we can't really consider them rare events if they're happening all the time, things like Sandy or Katrina, and that we just can't keep up with that, and that we might need to start thinking about having sort of a full-time natural disaster relief program in the United States, because we will start seeing things like this. As far as like mosquito-borne illness, that's probably a little bit easier for us to deal with. You know, it's not a pleasant task, but we do have, you know, we do have good mosquito repellents out there. DEET is highly effective. You can use mosquito nets if you're sleeping outside or something. And, you know, we have researchers that are working on solutions to problems like Zika. And so I think funding research to help alleviate some of the effects of a lot of these problems is a step in the right direction.
Peter, I know you said you don't want this to be a doomsday scenario to scare people, but certainly when they look at this and realize that we're not talking about this hitting necessarily all at 2100 AD, this is going to gradually increase as the years go on. This is, in fact, in many of our lifetimes as well. That has to be a sobering thought for many people, though.
I think the point is that I would like people to come away with is that this isn't unstoppable. Right. So I like to use the analogy of like a steamship. So right now, climate change is full steam ahead. Right. And ever since the 1700s and 1800s with the Industrial Revolution, we've been shoveling coal into the boilers of this ship. And so the first thing that we have to do is stop shoveling. And so that means just reducing the amount of greenhouse gases that we're putting into the atmosphere, which is something that scientists have been saying for years, and we've started to make some positive moves in that direction, and we just need to go a little farther. And because greenhouse gases are fueling climate change, and that's a pretty well established scientific fact. And even though it'll take some time for us to see results from that, it's worth doing immediately, right? So just because we cut CO2 emissions and methane emissions, and we don't see any results next year, that doesn't mean that it's not a thing that's worth doing, because it takes a ship a long time to slow down or turn around.